Well, his campaign tried. Once the Washington Post, pretty much alone among major newspapers, began to follow and unravel the Watergate story, his campaign began to use it as a major indicator of corruption in the Nixon administration. McGovern gave 3 nationally televised speeches in the fall campaign, and the 3rd was devoted to Watergate and corruption. But the issue didn't really sink in. Most of the press was not taken seriously. People thought these were lower-level aides, that Nixon would never stoop to something like that. The country was still, in a sense, yet to be exposed to the depths to which presidents could lower themselves to extend their own power. And so the issue didn't bite. Not that many people other than diehard Democrats really believed in the charges McGovern was making. And so the story of Watergate really did not help McGovern at all in the fall campaign.
Also, an issue that year was the Vietnam War, but going back to 1968, which now we're in the 40th anniversary of that seminal year, we saw the Democratic Convention that year, the Democrats really kind of break apart there between the establishment candidates and the insurgent candidates. Of course, Hubert Humphrey became the candidate that year. There was a lot of upheaval in the country, obviously, and a lot of upheaval within the Democratic Party, resulting, of course, in McGovern's candidacy, but also his getting destroyed in many ways. Bruce Miroff, is also this when we saw maybe the advent of the Reagan Democrats first come to fore? They weren't called that, of course, back then, but many of what they called the ethnics, the Irish and the Italians and others who split apart from the Democratic Party back then, who didn't support George McGovern, who ultimately went to the Republicans. Maybe some of those people came back in the 90s under Bill Clinton, but was that also part of George McGovern getting beat so badly in 1972?
Yes, it was. I mean, that really began in 68, and if you look at the origins of the Reagan Democrats, of ethnic working class Democrats starting to vote Republican, it was based in part on the war and the kind of question of patriotism and a large part of the Democratic Party turning against the war, and also on the racial upheaval of the 1960s. And the ways in which the racial upheaval moved out of the South and moved north by the middle of that decade. So while Vietnam was the signature issue of the McGovern campaign, all the polls showed that it really helped Nixon in 1972. People sometimes say, well, we're in a situation like the Vietnam era now with the war in Iraq, and try to compare the Democrats and Republicans for 2008 with 1968 or 1972. But with 72, one thing to remember is that when Richard Nixon entered office in 1969, there were over 500,000 American troops in Vietnam. He had promised to end the war, and he didn't. But 4 years later, when he ran against McGovern, there were about 30,000 American ground troops. So unlike President Bush today, Nixon had wound down the war, such that most Americans accepted his argument that he was bringing about peace with honor and peace through strength. But in other words, most people voted not for McGovern, whose passion was to end the war, but with Nixon, who seemed to be doing it anyway, but in a way that fit more with traditional notions of patriotism.
And now here we are again, going full circle to 2008. Part of your book, of course, looks back at the at what's happened to the people in 72. There's been, as you mentioned earlier, Bill Clinton was a part of that. Hillary Clinton was a part of the Montgomery campaign, Gary Hart. And there have been others, of course, who were still in the Democratic Party establishment from way back then to where we are now. We saw strands of that with the Howard Dean candidacy in 2003, 2004. The identity crisis of the Democratic Party, where are we at now, Bruce Miroff? And we had groups like the Democratic Leadership Council and other moderate groups, and we've got the blogosphere now in the last few years with the advent of the internet. As a Democratic Party, where's it at compared to where it was back in the 1970s, where your book depicts the liberals' moment?
Well, in the 1970s, the Democratic Party had moved, much of the party, and particularly the activist wing, had moved left in response to the events of the 60s, particularly the racial upheaval and the war in Vietnam and the discovery of poverty as well. But on the other hand, the party still had some more traditional elements, the big city machines, the very conservative labor leadership, the Southern Democrats. In response to McGovern's massive defeat, I argue in my book, leadership of the party became more and more cautious, more and more wanted to run away from any implication or name of liberalism. At the same time as over the last 30 years, those more conservative parts of the party have largely disappeared or died off, as the Democratic Party at its base is less conservative than it was, the South most dramatically, white Southerners leaving the party. So the Democrats have been a kind of schizoid party for the last generation. Their base is passionate and liberal for the most part, whereas the leadership is cautious and tries to equivocate in the sense that conservatives dominate the discourse. But increasingly, Democrats have been frustrated, and I think one of the ways the identity crisis has come to a head has been through the muddled campaigns of Gore in 2000 and Kerry in 2004, where Democrats don't seem to stand for anything, where Republican leaders know what they stand for, proudly embrace the name of conservatism, whereas Democrats not only reject any labels, but reject any clear identity. I think only now, with the problems of the Bush presidency, do we see Democrats beginning to grapple for a new identity, wanting to stand for something, wanting to define themselves. That's still in the making. That's still in embryo. And the identity crisis of the Democratic Party is by no means over. But I think if 2008 turns out well for the Democrats, they are going through the campaign and even more through having to govern to finally answer the question, who are they and what do they stand for and what vision of America do they really represent?